Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Yo, 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 yo,
good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday. I'm out in Virginia. Shout out to the Hampton Roads area, the 757. Shout out to 103 Jams, our sister station down here. This is, you know, I went to Hampton University. This is our homecoming week, so I'm here all week with the students. DJing, talking about communications in class, and doing a whole bunch of stuff. I love this time. I mean, so many young people want so much knowledge, and this is just a great time. I love my school, and I'm having a good time, guys.
This is a great day to be down there because it is Thursday, so it's Throwback Thursday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're an old alumni now.
You're not just, so, Emma, you are part of Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, you didn't just get out. Okay.
Yes, I am part of the alumni, so it is fun. Yes, it is
the
fun.
The much older alumni.
I got to keep, I own it. Yes, I am.
Damn it.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well, yesterday I did something I never do. I had a long, long, long day yesterday. I did shot of espresso.
Oh.
I don't ever drink coffee. I don't do any of that, but I was so tired. I was sitting down getting something to eat, and I thought I was going to fall asleep at the table.
Why? You got to live a little. But you said this something you never done. I thought it was something like big.
No, I mean, I really have never drank coffee in my life.
So you were looking for energy?
Yeah.
But you got a juice bar. Why wouldn't you drink
I wasn't in Brooklyn.
Oh.
I was in the city. I did I had like 5 different interviews. I was running around like crazy, and I started to get really exhausted. It did give me a lot. I think because I never, ever, ever drink that, and I don't really drink caffeine ever, I just gave me a burst of energy. Then I couldn't sleep at night.
Well, congratulations, Angelique. Round of applause to her for drinking some caffeine yesterday.
Yes.
All right. Having an espresso.
An espresso.
That sounded amazing.
Right.
It was.
Now, I know Charlamagne's excited. Because today in the building, it is Throwback Thursday.
It is Throwback Thursday.
We have 112 joining us.
Listen, man, you know your Uncle Charlotte. See, this is my era. Well, this is our era, okay? This is what I was riding around in high school listening to at times. You know what I'm saying?
You guys don't understand how excited Charlamagne is for 112 to be here today.
I'm excited for all the older groups that's still popping. Even if they not popping, we're going to make them popping today. We're going to reheat them cold fries.
But 112 has some great stories, so I know I'm sure
that's
you guys
what I'm
be very
saying.
Entertained.
As a radio personality, we do interviews. The people who are the best to interview are those who have experiences. They've been in the game at least 20 plus years, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Well, let's get the show cracking. Yeah, we'll kick it with 112 next hour, but we got front page news next year. What are we talking about?
Yes, find out about an undercover sex sting operation. 277 people arrested in Florida.
Okay. All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, shout to them New York Yankees. Nobody ever expected. Right now, they're up in the series 3-2. This is supposed to be a building year. Yeah, they won last night.
So
this
is
supposed to be a building year. Won 3 in a row. They go back to Houston tomorrow night. This was supposed to be a building year. This was a year that it's all rookies. They thought it was going to take another 2 years. But, nah, they're really pitching their ass off, and they're really connecting those bats.
So just one more game. If they win this next one, they win.
Then they go to the World Series.
Yeah, I saw some of it last night. I was actually sitting in a restaurant at a bar.
You watching
and it
baseball?
Was on. No, it was on, and I just was watching it. And I thought it was interesting because they had an Asian pitcher, the Yankees, right?
Tanaka.
Last night. Tanaka.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Because everybody always says nothing but Dominicans that play baseball. So I was like, oh, Asians play baseball now? That's what I was thinking last night.
You know what? Asians always play baseball, man.
I don't watch baseball, so I don't know. Okay.
My goodness. All right. What we got? What we talking about front page news, G?
Well, let's talk about, since we're still doing sports, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and what he had to say yesterday about the league and about the players standing or not during the national anthem. Now, the league has no plans to make them do so, but here is what Goodell had to say.
We believe that our players should stand for the national anthem. I think we also have to keep focus on this. We have about 6 or 7 players that are involved with this protest at this point. And this is something that what we've tried to do is deal with the underlying issue and understand what it is that they're protesting and try to address that matter. So the important thing for us is to be able to do that and take that opportunity to make real differences in our community. And that is really what's going to ultimately be the important aspect for us long term.
Now, another thing that they talked about was he did say that he understands how fans feel about the issue, and there's opportunities for these players to go out and make real changes in their communities. And he said that they have been very articulate about what it is that they're trying to convey their message. Here's what else Roger Goodell had to say.
They're talking about criminal justice reform. They're talking about changes that I think will make our communities better, that there is bipartisan support for. They're talking about what we can do to support them to effectuate that legislative change. And that's, again, very, very positive. They're talking about equality issues, making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to give people an opportunity, whether it's in education or economic, and what we can do to try to effectuate that. And we believe with the players that we can help them, we can support them.
And that's what we need to be discussing. I don't want to talk about the protests. I want to talk about why the players are actually protesting the injustices that black and brown people are facing in this country. That's all I want to discuss.
Now, Roger Goodell goes on to say that they are not doing this to be disrespectful to the flag, but they also understand how it's being interpreted, and we are dealing with those underlying issues. Now, Donald Trump tweeted out, the NFL has decided it will not force players to stand for the playing of our national anthem. Total disrespect for our great country. And then he tweeted at NFL, too much talk, not enough action. Stand for the national anthem.
Stop being distracted by the protests and let's talk about why the players are actually protesting. That's what we need to be discussing. The injustices that black and brown people are facing in this country at the hands of the police. That's what we want to discuss. Period.
Absolutely.
All right, now we were telling you about an undercover sexting operation. 277 people were arrested. This undercover sexting operation was called Operation No Tricks, No Treats. And that started October 10th and ran until October 15th. Yes.
No tricks, no treats.
I guess before Halloween.
Okay.
But that's
everybody,
what they
see, this is the problem with social media, like Google and Facebook got everybody wanting to come up with these cute catchphrases. Come on, you're the damn police. You don't need a catchphrase.
Well, no this tricks, was no in treats. Polk County. That's where my girl, Seventh Streeter, is from. Now, what they did say is the way they did this was they were undercover detectives, investigators from several different law enforcement agencies. They had false advertisements on websites, on social media sites, and on phone apps, and people were posing as and they also had people posing as prostitutes to solicit those sex workers. And they did end up arresting 277 people. Those people included doctors. Even a cop was arrested. Pharmacists, everything. They said that's the most arrests they have ever had in the history of the sheriff's office. So
wow. All
one person was a cancer surgeon. You know, just craziness.
Jeez.
So now they just got to settle for candy on Halloween.
Yes. No tricks, no treats.
Yes. All right, well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night and you're pissed off and you
maybe
just want to vent.
Maybe you need an espresso.
Yeah, maybe you need an espresso. Or if you feel positive and you want to spread some positivity this morning, 800-585-1051. Hit us up right now. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man
or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris, get it off your chest.
Well, I am blessed this morning. I woke up in a positive mood. I'm going to be on time for work. My coins is right. I got a good man. Like, life is good.
It's a good day.
There you go.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Angela Yee. Good morning, Envy. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Good morning.
Good morning, happy woman.
You just put me in a better mood.
She sure did.
Yes, ma'am.
And where you calling from,
Mama? It's almost Friday. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Salute to Orlando. I mean, other than you living in Florida, your life is great.
Florida ain't that bad. So
yeah, I love Florida.
Yeah, that bad. I'm glad you added that on to it.
Thank you for calling, Mama.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too now. Hello, who's this?
Danielle.
Hey, Danielle. Get it off your chest, Mama.
I'm so mad because my husband's baby mother said that she was going to pay for my daughter to do dance as long as I take the girls to practice, dance practice. But at the end of it, she told me I didn't have to worry about nothing. I'm mad because I did have to pay. She wasn't paying. She paid $20, and that was it.
Dang.
And you know what I'm saying? There's registration. There's costume money. And then they go into New Jersey. They're going to Newark, the Lady Wolverines. They're going to be dancing there. That's money to get down there for Rochester. And then on top of that, they're going to Florida if they win the competition in Newark. So then there's more money that's got to get paid for plane tickets. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, she was supposed to be paying money to help my daughter get through this. But I had to pawn my earrings to get the registration money. Now my earrings stuck at the pawn shop. I can't even get them back.
Well, first of all, why are y'all two not leaning on the man? Who is this pimp?
Well, he's saying it's okay. He's surprised because she being nice to me. So we just sitting back. Figuring everything, we trying to be a big family or something. Like, everything is supposed to be okay. She married herself.
Well, I would like to shake this man's hand since he has such a good pimping situation going on.
My
he got
goodness.
His baby mom and his girlfriend working together to take care of
I know,
his
he got
kids.
You pointing your
Both
earrings.
Kids, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm mad about because, you know, them my babies. You know, my door knockers. I'm upset.
I'm mad because
your earrings?
Actual babies.
I thought you were about the kids.
Yeah.
About your damn earrings?
Oh,
oh that's gosh. Funny.
Okay,
that is funny.
Day,
thanks,
Jesus
Mama.
Christ. I'm thinking she's talking about the kids. She's talking
she
about her goddamn door knocking.
Yeah, she's talking about
the
earrings.
It is Throwback Thursday, though.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, or if you want to spread some positivity, phone lines are wide open. Get your ass up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial. It's your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Well, I'm spreading positivity because everybody is available to understand and get God's plan. If you follow it, whether there be bumps in the road or not, you just got to stay on the right path.
That is a fact, boo.
Yeah.
What's bringing you to that revelation this morning?
Because it's like, I thought a year ago, I thought everything was wrong in my life. I couldn't do nothing. Like, I thought this my life is not going to be about nothing. Now, I'm on the way right now to clinicals and nursing school. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not letting stuff distract me. And it's all part of God's plan because I've always wanted to be a nurse. I've always wanted to do what I wanted to do. But I
there
thought, oh, I don't make the grade. I don't do this. But I was able to do everything I wanted to do.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm happy to hear that, Mama. Thank you for calling.
Everybody is so positive this morning.
As
I love
they should
it,
right? be. They
I
won't
help,
goddamn it.
Hello, who's this?
Club with no breakfast.
That's
oh,
us.
Man. What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Ain't nothing, man. I just want to let everybody know I'm blessed, man. I just reached my anniversary this past Sunday and my relationship, so I'm happy about that.
How long has it been?
It's only been a year, but we've been dealing with one another forever. We just finally decided to start taking one another serious and stop playing games.
Wait. Now, all right. Now, a lot of people ask about that. So when you said you guys have been dealing with each other for a long time, what's a long time?
A long time is like 10 years plus.
So you've been messing with this girl for 10 years, but doing your thing with other people, and then you finally decided,
why
you know
what? Why are you throwing sauce on it? What do you mean doing thing with other people? Why are you
this
throwing,
is positive,
he didn't say that.
Me. What's wrong
he
with you?
He didn't say that.
I'm asking him.
No, he didn't even say that. He's doing your thing with other people. He didn't say that.
Angela Yee, we was both doing the same thing. She
See,
was living
both
her life.
Were.
She wasn't stuck on stupid or nothing waiting on me. She was doing her. I was doing me, but we always came back to one another. So we finally decided to stop playing games and take it serious. And it's been going great so far.
That's good. I'm
well,
glad to hear that y'all got
sir.
Everything
Congrats.
Out of y'all's system. Everything's out in the open. You guys are open and honest. That's important.
Right. And my daughter's birthday was 10-10-10. So she just turned 7 last Monday. So I'm blessed about that, too.
Well, 10, congratulations, 10, 10,
and
10 my brother.
10 years till you locked it down. All right.
All right, bro. Thank you for calling, man. All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Now, don't forget, 112 will be joining us next hour. All right, it's Throwback Thursday. We're going to kick it with 112. But now we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, find out what R&B singer says that it took her 20 years, but she has found out that she was suicidal.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk about which R&B singer was suicidal.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, Michelle Williams was on the talk. And she was talking about suffering when she was between the ages of 13 and 15 is when it first started. And she said she didn't know until she was in her 30s what was happening with her. Here's what she said.
Had I had a name to what I was feeling at the time, I would have disclosed that I've been suffering from depression. You know, I didn't know until I was in my 30s what was going on. I just thought it was growing pains. I just thought I'm turning into a woman. So I've been suffering since the age of between 13 and 15.
How bad did it get?
So it got really, really bad. I've disclosed my depression in the year 2013, not on purpose, just, you know, just disclosed it. And to the point of I was suicidal.
Bam. Mm. See, y'all got to leave Tanitra alone. Y'all want to make all those damn Michelle Williams jokes all the time, pushing her to the brink.
Well, she said while she was in Destiny's Child, she actually told Matthew Knowles about her depression, and he was like, y'all just signed a multi-million dollar deal. You're about to go on tour. What do you have to be depressed about? So she said to herself, okay, maybe I'm just tired.
See, that's why to be a real leader, you have to have empathy. Because it doesn't matter how much money you got or what position you're in. You never know what somebody's going through.
But she said a lot of people kind of was the same. Like when she was telling them what was going on, you know, they just thought she should be grateful for everything happening. And a lot of people weren't aware about depression back then.
What year was that when she fell on 106 and Park?
I'm just trying
to see if these two situations are related.
Oh, that was, it was any correlation.
Yes.
I
guess,
so. Now, she said that depression doesn't mean you're lazy and self-harm doesn't mean you want attention. It's not any of that.
God bless Michelle. I like Tanitra. Drop on the clues bombs for Tanitra. Michelle Williams.
All right. Chelsea Handler said she is ending her talk show on Netflix. Chelsea is ending after 2 seasons. She said, like so many across the country, the past presidential election and the countless events that have unfolded since have galvanized me from the national level down to the grassroots. It's clear our decisions at the ballot box next year will mark a defining moment for our nation. For those reasons, I've decided not to return for another season of Chelsea and instead devote as much time as I can to becoming a more knowledgeable and engaged citizen and to focus on projects that have significance to me.
Oh, that show got canceled.
She said she's going to continue.
She said she is continuing her partnership with Netflix. Because nobody watched the show.
She's working with them on a documentary. And she said they're very understanding and new episodes of Chelsea will continue to stream weekly until the end of the year.
Netflix is not the place for talk shows because I like Chelsea Handler. I used to watch Chelsea Handler all the time on E!
You can't binge watch a talk show.
No. I think I tried to watch Chelsea on Netflix twice. I want scripted programming on Netflix movies. I'm not watching talk shows on Netflix.
All right. Now, Birdman and Toni Braxton, there were rumors that they are married. According to Toni Braxton's rep, she is not married. So, you know, just putting that out there. All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee.
All the aunties and uncles. Oh,
boy.
Okay.
You hear the excitement in his voice.
Some grandmas, some granddaddies. Okay.
Throwback Thursday is next. We have Bad Boy recording artist 112 going to join us.
They still on Bad Boy?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, I guess once you sign with Puff, you sign for life.
You sound for life. Yeah, now, what's the member's name, Charlamagne?
Mike, Slim, Duran, and Q.
There you go. When we come back, we're going to kick it with 112. And
hold
let
up.
Me know
are
your
you doing a 112 mini mix, though?
Of course I am. That's the old uncle laugh right
you
there.
You already know.
All right. When we come back, 112. And, of course, we'll do a 112 mini mix. Let me know your favorite 112 joint. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building.
And they probably f***ed your mama.
Oh, definitely aunts. Mama's and aunts.
We're not that old.
112.
What's up?
What's up,
guys? Hey, y'all haven't released music together in 12 years?
Yeah.
Why?
Who's the problem?
Slim.
Thinking he all
see,
that.
See, everybody say that, Slim. I think I answered that long time ago.
Nah, nobody's a problem, man. We just, we've been out for 21 years. And, you know, when you grow up, you grow out a little bit. And we had to give each other time to really explore the individualism. So we did that. And it just took 12 years, man. So the fans, they spoke. The good thing about 112 is we never stopped touring. Mm-hmm. Even though we hadn't put out any records commercially, we always have had a great relationship with our fans. So we always been able to get together, go get a check, go get some money. And then the fans spoke and we just came together and said, you know what, guys, let's do it.
Y'all been out 21 years. Lord have mercy on me.
96.
Why now? 96. Why new music now?
Okay, man. You know what I'm saying?
We got together.
Learn to embrace it.
So, you know, we was gone for a minute. We took a little hiatus, and we got back together. We started touring. And, you know, our relationship became better and better from just being on the road and kicking it and, you know, warming up our voices, singing a cappella, stuff like that. And then just,
you know, hearing from the fans so much and kind of just getting that musical itch again as a group, you know, as we was on the road, just singing the classic songs. And, you know, you start to get that itch and say, hey, man, let's hit the studio. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it was some hesitation initially, you know what I mean? Because, like, with today's music and, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't want to have this antiquated, you know, frame of mind. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like we got to do it the way we did it back in the 90s and whatnot, man. So that was kind of in the back of our minds as well. Do we want to, you know, do what they're doing nowadays and stuff, but we want to stay, remain true to who we are. So, you mm-hmm. know, that was kind of like
what Dangerous we Game sounds good. It sounds like some classic 112 music. Okay, and I do feel like that 90s sound is kind of like resurging today.
Yeah.
I think the 90s sound never really went anywhere because people, it's just one of those sounds where people just, they missed it.
You classic. Know,
they yeah. missed classic, it. Yeah. And people, the fans spoke, even that meme that you see going around, if it ain't like 90s love, you know, I don't want it. If it ain't like 90s. You know, so people miss the sound, and it's not a dated situation, so you can kind of come out and just be yourself, even with the new Ty Dolla song. He sampled Only You.
Yeah.
You know,
appreciate that, bro.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah.
That's love. I'm getting that money. That's all Diddy money.
Boy, stop.
Don't play yourself like that. No.
We get pieces of that, too.
Okay. Yeah. Don't do that.
Why did Diddy have the reputation of jerking artists back in the day?
I mean, as far as our situation was, we kind of had a situation where we were signed up on a production deal similar to the TLC situation, but it really didn't have anything to do with our deal with Puffy.
Yeah.
So I used to wonder all the time, like, because he's creating these big platforms for artists, like all our videos was like 750 and up, you know, and we always had, you know, commercial success. We always had the marketing and promotion behind it. So I really didn't understand that myself.
I mean, it's a standard, you know, we signed a standard record contract. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that everybody signs. Everybody gets got.
Artists, future artists, that's a part of the game.
Got, you know what I mean?
It's another part about the Puffy thing is like you would run into other artists like our fellow, you know, artists that's in the game, and they'll be like, oh, man, we wish we had a Bad Boy, or we wish, oh, y'all had Bad Boy, man, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just kind of like, I never got that. Like,
yeah, when you think about it, there was only one artist who complained about Diddy, now that I really think about it.
Who?
That was Mace. I never heard anybody else really.
The Locks?
The Locks. Yeah.
It didn't get to... chair throwing, you know, mode with us, but...
because let's
not paint a picture like we didn't have, you know, our problems with, you know, Puff and stuff, man, but we family, you know what I mean? It's like, I was the one, I always went back and forth with him, you know, that like Q was his favorite, you know what I'm saying?
Why was Q his favorite?
I don't know, bro, like, it was just Q's always his favorite. Q's always his favorite.
Who just always
don't
clean,
sound right,
man.
Q. I'm going to be honest. Don't let him do that.
These two was his favorite. You know what I mean? And I used to always go back and forth with it. Like, I'm the smallest, I'm the shortest out of all of them, but I was the one that stood out in front of him. Like, I was always the one that, you know, that was like, nah, Puff, we ain't doing it like that.
How did y'all get discovered by Diddy back then?
Diddy was doing a whole lot of partying in Atlanta, you know, at that time. And, you know, it was around that whole dark camp with Dallas Austin and, you know, our manager at the time, like, he was like the who's who of, you know, in the A and stuff, man. So he knew Puff. He was like, yo, I got these guys, man. You got to listen to them. And Puff just, you know, he heard it and was like, yeah, it's dope, but why they keep practicing like that? Like why, you know, why are they still?
Yeah, he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It took faith in Usher to basically stamp it, you know, yeah, for us. Like, because we actually was in Doppler Studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Faith was working with Usher at the time, because at the time he was doing Usher's...
Usher's first album.
Yeah, he was doing that one. And Faith took him to the side and was like, yo, if you don't sign them dudes, man, you're going to regret it. You know, and that's really what the stamp. So, you know, Faith really stamped that for us.
Dope. Salute to Faith.
Now, without you guys having released an album in 12 years... And you've been on tour, the Bad Boy tour and everything. Did y'all stay in communication with, like, the other artists on Bad Boy? Are you guys, like, genuine friends with certain people?
Yeah, it's really a family. Like, yeah, people always talk about the Bad Boy family like it's just something to say. But it's really true to form. Even though we're all not signed to Bad Boy anymore, we still do shows together. So, you know, this weekend we may be on the show with Faye. We may be next weekend with Carl.
What about Mario Winans?
Yeah, even Mario. So yeah. I mean, it's always a real real family thing. Yeah,
Mario having tax problems.
Yeah, have a little tax problem. Yeah.
For real?
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. How about did you guys learn about finances when you were first coming out? Did anybody say, okay, you got to make sure you have this, you got to have an accountant?
Yeah, we learned the hard way.
That's the thing.
We learned the hard way.
Your objective is just to get signed and get the record deal. You're not even thinking about money and none of that kind of stuff. And the sad thing is, you know, there is no manual on how to be a recording artist. There's nothing that says, do this with your money, do this with your balance in your life. None of that. So with us starting at 17 years old, coming from nowhere, dog.
Hey, bro.
We got those checks. It was like, hey.
Or you going to sign this contract, bro. We're going to sign this contract.
Show money,
Lennox. We'll worry about the other stuff later. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying?
Was there ever a point when you guys were like, okay, we getting got, and we got to figure something out, kind of like it's happened with TLC, with New Edition. Was that the 112 situation as well at some point?
You top of the charts. Mm-hmm. You're all over the world. You're traveling. Everybody know you. Everybody recognize you. They're singing your song word for word. But then your living expense, your living arrangements haven't changed. You're still going back to the hood. Mm-hmm. You're still in the first place you were when you first got your record deal. So yeah, that really opened your eyes. Like, okay, hold on. We the horse, and we the ones that's out here, you know, not having time with the families, you know, on the road 345 days out of 365. Yeah. Some should be different.
Yeah, you in the hood and your video on BET.
Come on, man.
Literally.
You had that hate
dog moment, but you're like, hold up.
All right, we got more with 112 when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have R&B group 112 in the building. Now, was there ever R&B beef like you guys and Jagged Edge or with Drew Hill?
Now, let me tell you.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The Jagged was actually real,
mm-hmm.
and we started it.
I mean, as real as R&B.
As real as R&B goes, it was real.
Don't say that, though, because a lot of these R&B artists, they may sing, but they'll whip your ass.
Hey, that's why I'm telling us, like, bro, look, we still from, you know, that south side of Atlanta, man. Like, you know, just don't walk up on an R&B dude. Like, you just don't do that. You know what I mean?
What was the problem with Jagged Edge? Why did y'all start that?
Well, this is what our plan was.
Okay.
Our plan was, we knew that because Jagged was from Atlanta, 112 was from Atlanta, there was a parallel, there was a juxtaposition between the two groups.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to go on tour with these dudes so we can just build this whole momentum. So it's like an Ali versus Frazier kind of thing. The only problem is we didn't tell Jagged.
Oh, y'all didn't tell that?
I mean, it wouldn't have been authentic if we, you know what I'm saying, we came in, hey, man, we're going to start beef with y'all, bro. You know, it's like, in our minds, the way, you know, it wasn't going to be manufacturing beef. Right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was
reality TV before that.
Yeah, right, before so that was the whole plan, but we're thinking that they're going to go ahead and play along with it, and you know what I mean? And we were going to, you know, have this Ali versus Frazier kind of thing, and then we're going to make money off of it, but you know, it kind of got a little, you know, too personal, you know what I'm saying?
Kyle got drunk one night and started a fight.
Uh-oh. Basically, what was said was, you know, we felt like we were the better group. You know what I mean? That's basically what it boiled down to. But I will tell you this.
Feel nothing wrong like
with
that.
It got personal before, so it got a little past that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
There was some specific things said that was...
You probably was calling them old, because y'all was the younger group at the time, right?
We just felt like, you know, we were the, you know, the better singers. You know, that really what it boiled down to. But I will tell you this. We were in the Barbados. It was 112 at Jagged. And it's like after the whole, they were on BET, said what they said, and we said what we said in the whole nine. And Kyle called my room. He said, yo, bro, come down to the pool. I need to holler at you. I said, all right, man. Put my jewelry, take my jewelry off. Grease up. Because it's going to be on. You know what I'm saying? My mind is going to be on, right?
You ain't calling nobody else?
Matter of fact, he didn't call nobody else.
No, I ain't calling nobody. I'm, you know, old man. I'm going out. I'm going to holler. So I go down to the pool. The real mafioso, like, it's Kyle, his cousin, and he got, like, another dude. I said, okay. They buy the pool.
A sing-off.
These cats. I'm thinking to myself, like, these cats don't think I can swim. So that's okay. That's probably what it is. So, you know, take me to the pool and whatnot. You know, I went over to them. You know, they ordered me mojitos and whatnot.
Mojitos. This sounds so not gangster.
So I went
down to the pool.
Yeah, so it was too cool. So I knew once I got a mojito, everything was all right. I was, you know, we can talk this out, whatever. So Kyle looked at me and said, you know y'all the one that started it, right? I was like, yeah, bro, you right, man. We did, man. We sorry, man. I apologize for that, bro. And then after that, man, it was cool. We was good.
Three steps
after
that. Nothing.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to know, what were you hoping to gain? Why starting to beef with Jagged Edge?
Like, we wanted to tour. Like, we wanted, like, it's one thing for an R&B artist to go and tour. Mm-hmm. You know, like what we've done. As a matter of fact, we just came from overseas with Drew Hill and Ginuwine, and we did this major tour. That, you know, it was awesome over there. But that was the whole gimmick we wanted to do, because there was such a distinction between a Jagged Edge fan and a 112 fan. Like, gotcha. It gotten to a point where either you was a Jagged Edge fan or you was a 112 fan. Right. So we were trying to combine the two and just go on tour with that. The problem with that was in our youth and in lack of experience, we didn't tell them that was the plan until, right, like later on. And then they found out, was like, oh, bro, why y'all ain't say nothing?
Like, this is like reality
TV. I just want you to know that the other three are looking at you like, I still don't think that's a good idea. I've been listening to you explain this for years.
I still feel like it'll work, man. As a matter of fact, we're still trying to make it work now. We actually, on this album, we actually have a record with Jagged.
Wow. So you're still trying to be for Jagged?
No, no. We
fight already.
Do it. We definitely want to tour with the guys, though, man, because we do understand the fan base wants that, man. Like, that's what they want, man. So we was like, yo, let's do a record with these dudes. They actually they spearheaded the whole record, man. So it's a really great record on this album that's coming out October 27th, man. And you know, we're excited about it, you know.
Did you guys ever get into fist fights with each other? I'm sure, as brothers on tour.
Yeah, we brothers. We fought. 21 years. No, actually 30 years. We've been together since like middle school.
Yeah.
Who fought the most amongst each other? Is it like a tag team?
Daughter right here?
Probably.
Second tag.
It ain't been a lot.
We
may say a few words, but then what happens is once the we do shows all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the music is what is the common denominator. Mm-hmm. So no matter how upset you are with each other, no matter how mad you are, once the music gets going and we on stage, it's like everything just.
Me and Q got to argue last week.
Yeah.
About
it's
what?
Like everything just go.
Jagged Edge.
No. It wasn't about Jagged Edge.
What were some of the disagreements you all had as a group back then that y'all are kind of like over now?
I think a lot of it be creative because we're all so creative.
Yeah.
And if you really just sat with Duran has his idea of how things should go. I have mine. Mike has his, Slim has his. The task is getting us all on the same page so that we can all move in the same direction. Mm-hmm. But I think the differences come because we're just so passionate about how we personally feel things should go.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't help being Diddy's favorite either. I'm sure that doesn't go over well.
How did y'all feel when Slim went solo and had success solo?
Happy.
Happy.
Yeah.
I was glad.
Because he's still on the tag, you still see
of 112.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's deeper than music with us, bro. It all goes back to 112, but I will tell you a story about the S, the L, the I, the L.
We were at
Daddy's house, right? Slim did the S, the L, the I, the L, and Puff was walking by when he heard it. And he was like, yo, I like that. I said, Slim, that's gone. That's gone, bro. Remember that record he got? The D, the I, the D, the D, the Y.
Is
the so I mean I built on that. I went from that to 112. You might slam the run. So I mean it wasn't like
you
I was just
did that from the beginning. Why are you trying to be Beyonce?
No. And actually I did it all together. I mean they just picked up on that was the first single they picked.
Real rap though, we understood that Slim's voice, like all of us sing lead. Everybody knows that. You know what I mean? But we knew that Slim's voice was so distinctive. And immediately when you heard his voice, you knew it was 112.
And it cut through the traffic, too, because there were so many male groups out at the time.
Right.
We needed something different that's just going to make you easily identify that, oh, that's a 112 record.
Right.
Yeah. And so, let's be real. Nobody sounds like Slim.
Nobody sounds like Slim.
That's real.
All right, we got more with 112. When we come back, matter of fact, let's get into a 112 mini mix. Let me know your favorite 112 joint. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a 112 mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have 112 in the building. Now, how was working with B.I.G.?
Man, B.I.G. was awesome.
Tell us about that collaboration.
Well, I got another story for you, bro. Like, we came into Daddy's house one night, and, you know, they knew 12 didn't smoke. Like, we were considered the gentlemen of R&B or whatever. And it wasn't because, you know, we were Southern. You know, we are Southern. So we opened doors, and they knew that we didn't cuss, really. We didn't drink. We didn't do any drugs or anything like that or whatever. But, you know, we were just those quote-unquote good guys or whatever. So they tried to keep all the quote-unquote bad stuff away from, you know, 12. And one day we had a session and we went into pub, like, yo, Big's in the other room, so let's go holler at him. They was like, yo, Big, they in there blazing, B. You know what I mean? So we was like, nah, we gonna go in there anyway. Went in there, couldn't see anybody. You know?
It was great.
You know, and Big is sitting there, and this is a testament to how great this dude was, too. So he's not, you know, he spoke to everybody or whatever, but he was just sitting there. Like, Caesar's over here, Jigga was over on the, you know, on the side or whatever, man. This is like 94?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we go in, and he say, yo, 12, what up? And then so it's not saying anything for hours. 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. rolls around. Dude gets up. It's like, I'm ready. They were like, you ready for what? And he just went in and did, I got a story to tell.
Mm.
And then, because if you remember in there, he got my 112 CD blast. It's because he saw us in there. You know, we spoke to him. You know what I mean? And we was in there just kicking it with him, whatever. So he's watching this whole narrative go down in front of him. And, you know, everybody's just talking all these stories. But he's just taking this whole
experience in, making it into a story, went in there, wrote it, and that's the kind of relationship that he had with us, man. Dude was our biggest supporter on Bad Boy. Like,
what I love the most about Big is, you know, being like the little brothers on the label.
Mm-hmm.
He always made sure we had whatever we needed. Like, you know, you hear the stories about the starving artists. When you, mm-hmm. you know, you're living off of your per diem. You don't really have a whole lot of money. We would come into the studio, and he would always be like, yo, did y'all eat today? Yo, make sure he gave us Brooklyn Mint gear to wear. Whatever y'all need, man. Like, I remember sometimes, man, he just break out $100 and just give every last one of us, making sure. And there would be sometimes where, you know, you hear the stories of Puff coming in the studio, having his, going on his rants. Big would be like, yo, man, leave the boys alone, man. You like, signed them, right? Because they dope. So let them be dope.
Yep.
So, Nimba Love, man. Just even watching him when he was in the wheelchair in Long Island. Yeah, yeah. And as the new guys on the label, watching him rock the show in a wheelchair, saying, no matter what happens, the show still go on. That just set a, that just was a great example for us to see, not even starting our career yet, that no matter what happens, you know, give the fans what they come to see, give the fans the experience that they paid for.
How was that Sky's the Limit set?
I was going to say that, because that's one of my favorite Big records. How was recording that one?
Now, we weren't in the studio with him at the time, but he kind of, like, explained it before, and then Puff basically said, hey, yo, this is the record that Big really wants y'all to be on right here. You know what I'm saying? And this is how we're going to come. After Puff explaining, like, the mainstream feel of this whole situation, it was like, yeah, this makes sense. And it is just let you know just how much respect Big had for 112.
Room 112, where the players dwell. He gave y'all a lot of crap.
Man, I was just watching the documentary that just came out on, I forget, the network. When it went off, I said to myself, like, wow. The fact that 112... four guys from the inner city of Atlanta. Sold millions of records, Grammys, and all that kind of stuff. But we are forever tied to arguably one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to produce for Big.
Right. The fact that he mentioned us in every record.
Yeah.
He produced Loving You Tonight. Yeah. He always shouting 112 out. My 112 CD blast. Room 112 was shaking. The fact that he introduced us to the world and only you. Yeah. Sky's the limit. You can't mention a Big story without playing Sky's the Limit.
Absolutely.
Brother, that always ties 112 to that, man. Like,
bro, the last thing he said to us, man, before he died was, like, we was on stage with him. Y'all remember that? We was on stage and turned around. He was like, yo, let's get the hell up out of here. You know what I mean? Because in that same night, man, that, you know, took him, but he knew, like, bro, we got to get up out of here, man. Like,
oh, that was that weekend?
That was the week. Yeah. That was the night that it went down.
Yeah.
It went down. The last thing he said was, like, yo, let's get the hell up out of here, because he was supposed to be in London. But he's like, nah, I'm gonna stay here and rock out in Cali, right? And we were like, bro.
What, he felt like tension or something, or
because they was booing.
I think so.
They was booing. Mm-hmm. Like, go back and look at the award shows. Like, you had 112. I think it was Chris Webber.
Brian McKnight.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian McKnight and Big and
presenting an award.
That was a rough time.
Yeah, he turned around. I was like, yo, we gotta get the hell up out of here, bro.
So, imagine, you did production, D? Hey.
Yeah. Oh, production. You know, I did.
No.
I did. Okay, Cupid. Anywhere, it's over now. Dance with me. Keisha Cole. I should have cheated.
They were calling you for loans the past 12 years.
Stop it. Oh, no. B.I.G. and R. Kelly.
Yeah.
I always wondered what you guys thought of, like, the whole making the band saga when Diddy was doing that and he signed, like, Day 26 and Danity Kane. Because y'all got on the Bad Boy the hard way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, right, what y'all think of that?
Honestly, bro, we would have, if he had told us to get a cheesecake, bro, we would have went and got that cheesecake.
How many times?
Two or three times.
We would have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We would have, because we would have done, you know what I'm saying, like, almost anything.
Going back to Atlanta?
Yeah, because that was his thing. He always threatened us.
Y'all want to go back to Atlanta?
Yo, Hall, yo, get their tickets.
You think artists have it easier or harder today?
Easier.
Well, yeah.
You think they're spoiled?
Yeah.
Way easier.
Yeah, because, you know, you have to think about it. You had to go to an actual studio, and in order to go to that studio, which was in a certain part of Atlanta, you had to have thousands of dollars per hour. You can't flip too many burgers to get in the side of that studio. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have apps, and you can buy stuff at Best Buy and sound the same way. You can record an album on the road, you know what I'm saying, in the bathroom. You know what I'm saying?
So that, your voice, they got things where your voice will sound, the pitch will be right now.
Right.
Before, you had to do it 20 times. Now.
Oh, yeah, that's what we used to do.
Bro,
we
still got our reels, man. Like, we tell kids nowadays, like, we used to record on these reels, these giant tapes, and they're like, what? You know, ADATs and all this.
Hook could take a whole day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what we would.
But you know, the music industry is decidedly different now. Like, y'all used to go in gold and platinum. If that doesn't happen this time around, can y'all be content with that? Like,
success in our minds is not considered based on numbers. You know what I mean? It's on the amount of respect that we garner from our fan base, and then from those people that don't know who 112 is, and you know, just getting that, I think that will be a success, man. And with this new album that we did, like one of the main things that we wanted to focus on with this album was to make sure that we took care of our core. Make sure we took care of those people that were still rocking out with us for the 21 years. So if they're happy, we're success. It's a success.
But I'm gonna keep it 1,000 though. Okay. I mean, we're swinging for 100. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you can't tell me that all of the, you know what I'm saying, the 25 million records we sold, all of our fans just died. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying?
People don't eat as good as they used to, man.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Diets are bad. No. People are dying, getting heart attacks early. They might not be around.
Nah.
I'm serious.
But at the end of the day, people have been, you know what I'm saying, screaming for real R&B. Like, everybody's saying, oh, man, we want the music to feel like this, you know, and they've been complaining. Well, October 27, this is your chance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the one thing with 112 is, we could have recorded, we're trendsetters. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could have recorded a record any kind of way. This music that's out right now is very easy. And I showed off this off the solo project. It was easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But on this album right here, man, we made it a point to make the album as R&B as possible. We did it on purpose. Mm. So that, you know, if you're hungry for real R&B, you're just like straight, strong R&B music, you know, you can hit play, you can relate to the music. We're not taking certain things, you know what I'm saying, putting materialistic over what you can really relate to, which is love. Everybody in the world can relate to love. So it's just funny that to be who we are seems now fresh because the music has changed so much. Mm-hmm. When you remind people what R&B used to feel like, you now feel like you're doing something new. So mm-hmm. You know what? Why not?
We look forward to hearing this new album. What's
October 27th.
October 27th. Thank you very much. Q Mike Slim Duran.
Yeah. All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Tyrese has a new album coming out. He said it's inspired by Jay-Z. My motto is Identity Theft Double Album. He said it's Jay's spirit, Tupac's soul, and sonically Dre's ears. I know your first instinct is to say GTFOH. Put me in the singer and actor box and throw away the key, but you will see, folks, very, very soon that this rap album is far from play.
Tyrese, you set the bar too high already. Okay,
way too high.
There's no way you can live up to that expectation. It's just impossible.
He hashtag, I did this for the culture, hashtag laugh now, deride later.
Tyrese, why would you put all that pressure on Black Tie? We know Black Tie can't live up to that hype. Why would you do that to yourself?
Now, he tagged a lot of people in this, just to let you know. Envy, you were tagged. Charlamagne, you were tagged as well.
You tagged me?
Sway, R. Kelly, Beyonce, Snoop, Swizz, Busta. And he hashtagged Tata, Swizz Beatz, Steve Stout, Jay Brown, Chris Lighty, Mark Pitts.
Tata, get the pepper spray, man.
No, you can't pepper spray. You can't. Like you that,
all right, well, maybe you want to hear a little snippet then. You want to hear
You something? Got snippet?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Why you dropping bombs already? Why'd you drop that bomb? Why? You want to... Street lights on for the curfew. I don't do metaphors. Talking to you. Wendy on the real, got no point of view. Hot since 97, only dark is you. When you printed across, they got something to say. Rumor has it, I'm Beyonce. I got a wife at home, my own fiance. I'm unpredictable, Kanye. We getting this money. We getting this money. We getting this money. Fuck with a All right, fart on that. Why is Tyrese Beyonce? What he said, rumor has it he's Beyonce.
He rhymed it with Beyonce.
But why is he Beyonce?
I guess he's the lead singer.
Tyrese, man, you did that to yourself.
And he made lemonade out of lemons.
You set the expectation too high. You put the ball way too high. Just let the music speak for itself.
That's our guy. We're supposed to say we got to listen to the whole project.
Okay. All right, well, you let us know what happens in that group chat later.
I'm going to listen to the whole project, but that little snippet right there, that ain't Drake, that ain't Jay-Z, that ain't Tupac. Who else he said?
Dr. Dre.
That ain't Biggie. That ain't Dr. Dre.
All right. Channing Tatum has said he's no longer going to work with the Weinstein Company because of obvious reasons. Now, they were supposed to direct Produced and directed movie Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock. It's an adaptation of a young adult novel that centers around an abused teen planning to shoot his former best friend before committing suicide. Now, they released a statement. The brave women who had the courage to stand up and speak their truth about Harvey Weinstein are true heroes to us. They are lifting the heavy bricks to build the equitable world we all deserve to live in. So they're not going to do this story with them, but they do still feel it's important. And one thing I want to point out, because a lot of people are still talking about the victims. There's 40 victims now. And a lot of people are talking about why didn't people come forward later. But then there's stories of people who did tell their stories and no one believed them. And now this has flashed us back to Corey Feldman when he put out his book, Choreography, his memoir. And he discussed a lot of things that were happening in Hollywood. And he went on The View. And here's what happened with him and Barbara Walters.
I'm saying that there are people that were the people that did this to both me and Corey that are still working, they're still out there, and they're some of the richest, most powerful people in this business.
And they are.
And they do not want me saying what I'm saying right now.
Are you saying that they're pedophiles?
Yes.
And that they're still in this business?
Yes. No. Don't go into it thinking that it's all roses and
you're
sunglasses.
You're damaging an entire industry.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to say that it's a very important, serious topic.
Is he still alive?
Corey Feldman is, but Corey Haim isn't.
Well, Corey Feldman needs to spill the beans. He ain't got nothing to lose at this point.
Well, he's been spilling the beans. He put out his memoirs. He talked about it.
He talked about the people, though? He called names?
He didn't. He said for legal reasons he can't.
Really?
Yeah, he said for legal reasons he can't.
Touch my butt, I'm telling.
Name the people, but he also talked about, and they talked about it. They had a reality show together, the two Coreys, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman on A&E. And he said, he talked about Corey Haim. He said he had more direct abuse than I did. He said, with me, there were some molestations, and it did come from several hands, so to speak. But with Corey, his was direct rape. He said that Corey Haim was raped at age 11 on the set of the film Lucas that he did. And that movie co-starred Charlie Sheen and Winona Ryder. He said the man who had stolen his innocence walks around now one of the most successful people in the entertainment industry, still making money hand over fist. But he said, unfortunately, California, conveniently enough, has a statute of limitations that prevents that from happening. Now, Corey Haim
Guess what? The court of public opinion is always open. So I'm telling if that was me.
Corey Haim has since died, and he died from, he had pneumonia. And Molly Ringwald even wrote in The New Yorker that at age 13, a 50-year-old crew member pushed against her with an erection. And at age 14, a married film director stuck his tongue in my mouth on set.
Y'all know y'all can name names now, right? All of y'all are older. Y'all got y'all money. Like, just tell the truth so it doesn't happen.
But even you hear
generation.
Him talking to Barbara Walters, and she still was like, oh my God, what are you saying? I don't, like, it's people didn't believe him. A lot of people didn't think Corey Feldman was telling the truth. And
they'll believe him now.
He said on Nightline, I can tell you the number one problem in Hollywood was and is and always will be pedophilia.
Jesus
That's the
Christ.
Biggest problem for children in this industry. It's the big secret. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Wow. All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who you giving your donkey to?
I don't even know after what I just heard. I don't even know if I can continue on for the day after what I just heard about. But Hazel E needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with her.
Explain to the people who Hazel E is.
I really don't know. I think I met Hazel recently at the at the VMAs. I think I met Hazel at.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into that when
she's
we come back.
She's on Love & Hip Hop, right? Yee?
Okay.
And she's a day Cat Williams.
There you go.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Lil, holla, Lil. Leon Bo. Holla. Sit down. Holla.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Thursday, October 19th goes to Hazel E. of Love & Hip Hop. Which city is she in, you know?
Hollywood.
Okay, now you know I have disconnected from that matrix called social media, so I get my news the old-fashioned way, word of mouth, which is cool, because then if I choose to, I can go research things myself if I care enough. Now, I woke up and I had a couple text messages from some friends telling me I had to give Hazel E. Donkey of the Day. I walked into the studio this morning, and in the room, people were telling me I have to give Hazel E. Donkey of the Day, so I decided to go see what dust Hazel E. done kicked up, and oh, it's good. See, Hazel E, I guess, was going back and forth with a woman I enjoy, and that's Jess Hilarious. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Jess Lil Fine. Yeah. Jess Lil Fine on the low ass. Jess Hilarious Fine on the low, ain't she? Well, Jess and Hazel were exchanging words. I have no idea what Jess said to Hazel, but I know Hazel said to her, I'm not reading everything right now because I just don't have time. But here's a few notable quotes that had people pissed off. Hazel E, who is light-skinned, said to Jess Hilarious, who is dark-skinned, I'm tired of all these monkey-looking dark butts coming for my pretty ass.
No, wow. You didn't.
Don't take your insecurities out on me. Now, those in the community who are rich in pigment didn't take kindly to her dark-skinned slander, but wait, it gets worse.
And no one did, by the way, whether you are rich in pigment or not.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. True, for real.
Hazel E has a boyfriend named Rose Burgundy. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess Rose Burgundy gets called gay a lot. A lot of people mistake him for Hazel's gay stylist or a gay relative, from what I've heard. Okay, look, I don't know.
You weren't following all the time. You just had to go back.
This is just the intel I've gathered in the past couple hours. But Rose Burgundy posted a pic of the LGBT flag on fire with the caption, I'm 25, bitch. You really want to know how I feel about gays so bad? Well, here you go. I hope all gays die and go to hell. Mm. That's where I come from, bitch. Check your lies before you post. I'm from Peru.
Sheesh.
I'm 25, not 19. It's Denzel with two L's. B, Google me. Now, my dumbass had to ask who is Denzel with two L's, and Angela Yee informed me that's his real name.
His name's not really Rose Burgundy.
Okay. Well, then Hazel E liked the post and left the comment, burn in hell just like God said in the Bible.
What?
Now, I'm shocked Love & Hip Hop has not released a statement already saying these people who have been fired.
She's got to go.
Okay. I'm actually looking at these IG posts saying to myself, did they get hacked? Because this post Ron Burgundy posted of a burning LGBT flag and saying he wants gays to die, and Hazel E saying burn in hell like God said in the Bible, you two might as well grab some tiki torches and go march with them alt-right crack-ass crackers in Charlottesville.
That is awful to say something like this.
Now, I do have to read...
Disgusting.
I do have to read a little bit of Hazel E's IG post because she said some things that are absolute contradictions to me. She said, I see all you black-ass bitches that hate me.
Stop bleaching your skin and fix the inside first, and maybe all you hoes wouldn't be so mad.
Oh, go off, ye.
Love the skin you in, ladies. It takes a village to take me out, but what y'all fail to realize is I'm still on top, and none of you bitches will ever compare to me or be on my level. Mm. Then she said, I got money in the streets. Anybody looking for a check, hit me up. Bitches mad because they couldn't pass the brown paper bag test.
And she said, sorry, Mom, you kept me away from these type of girls all my life. You said they would hate me because I'm light-skinned. You were right. Now, Hazel E.
What?
Sheesh.
Since you're telling gay people what the Bible says, let me tell you what the Bible says about humility, okay? It's a lot of scriptures on humility, but one of my favorite is the book of Matthew 23:12. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you don't understand that, then maybe you won't understand this scripture from the book of Kendrick. Hold up, little bitch. Sit down, be humble. Okay, if you don't humble thyself, Hazel E, then God will do it for you. And if God doesn't do it, the internet will. And boy, did they. Now, Hazel E, I respect your glow up. All the cosmetic surgery has paid off, from the nose job to everything you have done to your body. You have refurbished that car, and I respect it. That's why I don't understand why you telling people to love the skin they're in when you have clearly gotten work done. Did you fix your interior first before you fixed your exterior? I'm just asking for a friend. You said that bitches is mad because they couldn't pass the brown paper bag test. Do you even know what that was? The brown paper bag test was a type of racial discrimination in the United States, okay? A brown paper bag was used as a way to determine whether or not an individual could have certain privileges. Only individuals with a skin color that is the same color or lighter than a brown paper bag, you know, would get those privileges. Hazel, that comment right there lets me know you may love your skin tone, but you hate your blackness. Which is sad. And we all know the worst hate is self-hate. Then you confirmed this self-hate by posting a pic of Uncle Ruckus and said, mood? Now, I'm a Boondocks fan. I think Aaron McGruder is a genius. People like Uncle Ruckus are funny on the Boondocks, but not in real life. For those who didn't watch the Boondocks, Uncle Ruckus was a black man who hated other black people. Okay, he actually disassociated himself from black people as much as possible and was a strong supporter of the white supremacist power structure. Hazel E., I know you might have been trying to be funny, but there's always some truth in the joke. You talking about people being insecure over their skin color, but you really talking about yourself because you hate your blackness. No matter what the tone is. Hazel, you said that your mom kept you away from dark skins all your life because they would hate on you because of your light skin.
Crazy.
Well, I'm pretty sure Mona Scott is going to take that mother role and keep you away from all the dark skin girls on her cast by simply firing you. And if you and your boyfriend, Rose Burgundy, you think that you're going to remain employed by Love & Hip Hop after telling gay people you hope they die and burn in hell, then you must also think you've had that new ass you bought a couple years ago your whole life. Let me remind you that it was a time where thee who has ass had a long back. Just a reminder, because I think you forgot, okay? One of the great things about the internet is if you forget where you came from, they will remind you. Hazel E., I think you need to go to Bossup.com and look at some of your pictures pre-surgery. It was a time when you looked like Jim Varney, a.k.a. Ernest P. Worwell. Now, listen, kids. Listen to your Uncle Charlotte, because this is before your time. But Google Jim Varney and tell me if you don't see the uncanny resemblance between him and Hazel E. Jim Varney played a character called Ernest P. Worwell, okay? He had several movies back in the day. Ernest Goes to Camp, Ernest Goes to Africa, Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Goes to School, just to name a few, okay? Hazel E., at one point in your life, you looked like you could have starred in a movie called Ernest Goes to Dr. Miami. What did Ernest go to Dr. Miami for? To see what Dr. Miami could do for his twin sister, Hazel Ernestine. Please give Hazel E., from Love and Hip Hop, what is it? Hollywood. The biggest hee haw, yeah. Please. Jesus Christ, what is wrong with people?
All right.
Uncle Charlotte don't want to have to talk to people like that.
Envy, do people hate you because of
I'm
your skin
to
color?
Be a change now.
Just Charlemagne. Just Charlemagne.
I don't hate
all
you.
Right. Yes, you do.
I just smiled when Nino Brown stabbed Christopher Williams in the hand in New Jack City. Had nothing to do with his skin tone. I just enjoyed that moment.
My goodness. All right. Well, thank you for that, Donkey, today. Now it's time for Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Ye right now. Again, the number's 800-585-1051. Call her right now. She'll help you out with all your relationship problems. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Why didn't you say that was Busta Rhymes' Touch It?
Because that sounds a little weird and crazy and awkward.
All right.
You can say it if you want.
I just did.
Okay. All right, well, we're in the middle of Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can call Ye. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, what's your question for Ye?
Hi, everybody. Anyways, I've been talking to him, and it seems that I keep finding these, like, sympathy guys. I call him because he's trying to get a job. He trying to work. Like, he sound like a good guy, but at the same time, I don't want to sound like a bitch and be like, you don't got the together. I don't want to talk to you. Like, is that mean?
So wait, what you're saying is you just started dating somebody, but they don't have their life together. He ain't got no job, and you don't have time for that to start your relationship like that.
Right. Am I being mean, or should I just be like, you know, okay, I'll talk to you till you get it together, or...
No, because you can't force yourself to be in a situation you don't want to be in, and it is tough to start off dating somebody when they don't have their ish together, you know? Because from my own personal experience, I remember dating a guy and he actually had a job and everything, but then he lost his job and he was all depressed. And it was too early on in the relationship for me to have to deal with that, I felt like. I didn't even really know enough about him for me to be, like, comforting you.
Like, every time he talks to me, I'm at work. So, and I'd be like, well, he's like, oh, I want to see you. And I'm like, well, if you had a car, you could have pulled up. Like, no.
Yeah,
like,
you're just going to have an attitude right now. It's one thing if you've been with somebody and then they fall on hard times, but y'all know each other really well and he held you down, you held him down. That makes sense. But y'all don't even have that history.
No.
And really, like, instead of him trying to run out here and date and see you while you're working, he should be out there trying to get his life together, knowing that he shouldn't even be able to step to you like that.
I feel like he shouldn't have a phone. I feel like he shouldn't even want to chill. I feel like he got this on freaking...
Hey, no cursing.
I feel like he got this because it's like, you shouldn't even be available because you should be trying to get a job.
Yeah, he should get his life. And, you know, you should let him know. Just be like, listen, you a cool person and everything, but I really do feel like, you know, it's early for us, and I want you to get your stuff together so we cool and everything. But,
yeah,
listen, I don't work hard to get to where I got to, and I'm not trying to get held back by somebody.
Yeah, I don't want that. Okay.
You already knew you didn't want that, but...
I just didn't want to sound so mean because it's like, guys don't be respecting the realness. They be saying they do, then when you say you real, you a beast.
Right.
And if no, I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you what your mama or somebody who close to you need to tell you. Get a job.
Right.
Go hire. I have 3 jobs. Just be working.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said for a man with ambition and a man who's just trying to see you while you working.
Yeah, I don't want that. So I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being like a...
Nah, you good, girl.
All right. Thank you, mama.
Hey,
boo-boo.
All right. Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Ye, you could call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Ye. Cooper, what's up?
What's going on, y'all? How we doing?
Good,
How's it
Cooper?
Going, Cooper?
What's the problem?
Oh, boy.
All right, so hold on. Sorry.
I'm working out right now. So basically,
what are you doing, reps, or what you doing in there?
You doing legs.
I'm doing some stairs.
Oh, okay. See? You're on a stairmaster.
Yeah. So basically, I got a friend. I hooked up with this girl, Eliza, a long time ago, and she's in like Madrid. And now her friend is here, and she was like, Cooper, I think you would like my friend. You guys should be friends. I guess you're going on a date. Live vicariously through me, whatever. Because she's gone. So I met up with a friend last week. We got drinks. It was dope. I realized, I was like, damn, I f*** with her friend way more than I do Eliza. The problem is Eliza is trying to, like, bogart my
No cursing,
away.
Cooper, no cursing.
Cooper, you got to stop cursing.
Sorry, sorry. She's, like, bogarting me from, like, far away, and I don't like that.
So but she's the one that set you up to go out with her friend.
Exactly, but she wants me to, like, quote-unquote, be friends with her and not, like, hook up with her. And I'm like,
well, she's silly for
that's
that.
That's just not a thing. So anyway, I just need your advice on how do I, like, show Emma that I really do like her. I think Anna's into me. I really think she is. We had a good day, and I'm not the kind of dude to, like, fake think a girl's into me just because, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I feel it, I feel it. I felt it.
All right, well, Cooper, I'm going to say this. Tread carefully because, you know, it is kind of a-hole move, what you're doing. And it is, to be honest.
But Eliza, the girl, put me off. Like, Eliza, the one who I originally hooked up with, she put me off with some other dude. So I'm like, you can put me off with some other dude.
No, but I understand. What I'm saying is this. I'm just saying, Trek, I'm not saying you can't do it. But what I'm saying is just do it respectfully because her friend will respect that also. Nobody wants to mess with a guy who just don't give a F about the girl. Because that girl is her friend.
I know.
At the end of the day, still. And you feel like she likes you. But she probably has some trepidation about it also because she's saying to herself, well, this is kind of foul. It's a weird situation. So you cannot just jump into it like you don't care. You have to acknowledge the fact that I know that's your friend. I don't want to come in between your friendship in any way. Let me explain to you. Okay, Eliza, she's messing with another guy. I'm going to be open and honest. Me and her did deal with each other and whatever, whatever. And just make sure she knows the whole situation. So she feels like she's making that decision. And she also feels like you're a nice guy.
Exactly. And it's like, I know what Eliza's trying to do. She's trying to, like, have, like, two guys. She's trying to, like, keep me around. But it's like, Eliza, I'm just not into you like that. I want your friend. Like, don't try to keep me around because it's not going to work out with me.
Right. And listen, you just be straight up. And you just be like, listen, I didn't anticipate this, but I do really like you. And I know it's a weird, awkward situation, but, you know, let's just try to figure it out.
I know. Sorry, guys, for the person. It was just, like, really... Huffy and puffy from the workout. I wasn't realizing I was first.
I can tell
my
you're not going at a high level on the stairs.
I'm going in on the stairs. I'm going in right now.
Nah, you're not going on a high level.
Definitely
you wouldn't be able to
like
talk
it.
Like this. You should be out of breath.
Okay.
Cooper,
okay.
Stop slacking.
Thank you. Right, I appreciate
Cooper.
It.
Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
All right. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes. Let's talk about an artist who says that the whole time that she was promoting sobriety and a sober lifestyle, she was actually using drugs. We'll tell you who that is.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kevin Hart has his irresponsible comedy tour, and tickets are going on sale tomorrow. But one person is not happy about it, and that is Montia Sebag. That's the woman who was caught on tape with him.
Why is she not happy about it?
Well, she says that she's still going through social media hacks, death threats, slut shaming, and all of that, and she finds it very distasteful that he's using this in his comedy.
She thinks she was the only person on that tape? She thinks she's the only person going through stuff? You think Kev not going through it at the house? You think now, his wife not on his ass?
According to her attorney, Lisa Bloom, she says this stuff takes a toll mentally and physically, and now with this tour, it's like this whole thing was a joke.
No,
that's
it wasn't.
His life.
It's his life. And he's,
I know, he's allowed
what,
to talk
exactly.
about...
He's doing what he always does, taking content from his life and putting it into his stand-up special. That's what happens when you have sex with a comedian.
Right, so there's no way he can't address it.
No. So, you expect him to do.
All right, Young Dolph, his album is coming out tomorrow, and it's his first project since he was shot and in the hospital and subsequently got out. Now he's putting out these bulletproof... line of merch, so it's like a bulletproof vest, but it's not a real bulletproof vest. It just looks like one. You still need the plates and stuff like that.
You
got to
get Young Dolph away from bullets, man. You like stop attracting that kind of stuff into your life.
He also shot his new video, Believe Me, while he was in the hospital. So that video, yes, if you want to see it, is out now.
Well, salute to my guy, Young Dolph. Salute to Tech, my peoples. But you got to stop putting that out in the atmosphere, the bulletproof vest and the bullets and all that. Wasn't his last album called Bulletproof or something like that?
Well, yeah, that was after the whole thing happened. And
that's called like 99 shots or something, yeah.
Hey, man, your thoughts become things.
All right, Demi Lovato, she is talking about how she just wasn't completely sober while she was actually promoting sobriety. She said in her Demi Lovato Simply Complicated. She said, I was sneaking cocaine on planes. I was sneaking it in bathrooms, sneaking it throughout the night. I went on a bender of like 2 months.
What a thug.
Where I was using daily. She said, there was one night when I used a bunch of coke and I popped a few Xanax bars and I began to choke a little bit. My heart started racing and I thought to myself, oh my God, I might be overdosing right now. So according to her manager, Phil McIntyre, he said, we were in New York and she clearly was on something and she was on air promoting this new way of life. And I was like, you're so full of it. So
the one that did our nose drip.
Now, she also, she also admitted that she was using even when she had a sober companion. Demi Lovato said, I went through about 20 different sober companions. She said she would still sneak out and get drugs. I would fake my drug test with other people's pee. She said the last night she ever abused any substances, she said it was liquor. She said the very last night that I drank, I was at a hotel and I invited two random people and basically just drank with them. She said I got really, really drunk until it was time to get on a flight and I was so drunk, I threw up in the back of the car service on the way to the airport to perform on American
Idol.
Demi
Lovato?
Yes.
That's she crazy. Had the nerve to act like she didn't want to talk to me at the IHOP.
Why is this about you always?
Yeah, it's not it's about you.
She's talking about her road to sobriety. How did this come up? That
y'all
she
don't remember how bougie she acted?
She that doesn't mean she wasn't, a, you know, an alcoholic or a druggie.
That, don't you disrespect me and you a cokehead.
But don't call her a cokehead.
She's talking about her addiction.
That's me.
Oh, that's addiction.
Why is this about you?
When it's white people, it's addiction.
Why is this about
you?
They're
a cokehead.
Why is this about you?
It's not, but I'm just saying.
Okay. All right. Yeah, she did not want to talk to you.
She a cokehead. All right? That's what it sounds like to me. Whether you're a former cokehead or a cokehead now, you was a cokehead at some point.
Goodness gracious.
Demi Lovato has an addiction.
All right.
But Bobby Brown was a crackhead. No, you're not having that.
He had an addiction as well.
Exactly.
As well as Lamar Odom.
Yes.
They had some struggles that they went through.
That's right.
It's a real sickness.
There you go. It's a sickness.
All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee. All right, when we come back, the People's Choice Mix and Shout to Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Get your request in right now at DJ Envy. Let me know what you want to hear.
What?
I had gave her a donkey today. That's what it was.
Yeah, you gave her a donkey today.
Oh, yeah. That's why she didn't want to talk to you.
Because she said a mug.
Now, apologize for calling her a cokehead.
No, she's a cokehead.
Oh, my God.
At some point in her life, she had that drip coming out of her nose.
It was a struggle. I feel for anybody that goes through any type of drug addiction.
All right, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.